Well, welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Wood, with the LCMS Office of National Mission, here live in the worldwide KFUO studios, not with Andy Bates, but with Reverend Jonathan Fisk.
That's right. I'm here by you.
All right. Well, welcome to Witness Wednesday.
Yeah, good to be here. Curious to learn what it's all about.
Well, good, because I'm going to quiz you.
Yeehaw.
Nothing like a pop quiz. Did you do your homework?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't prep for anything.
There we go. We'll just take it right off the top. Well, you know, we've been with Andy Bates for I can't say too much because he's actually in the studio, too.
Right. You don't want to give away how much you're glad he's gone.
Right. Yeah.
But he's laughing. That's good.
So this is our first time together on Witness Wednesday. And part of this was kind of recap for some of our listeners. But for you, it's sort of new.
Yeah, brand new.
So we talk a lot about witnessing on Witness Wednesday, which fits.
Right.
And we do it on Wednesdays, which is where we got the name from.
Right.
So
alliteration.
Not overly creative, but it works. And we talk about Lassie.
Right. And we were just in the break, you mentioned that L-A-S-S-I-E, an acronym for listen.
Listen.
Ask.
Ask.
Share was one of the S's.
Yeah. But first, seek.
Seek. Share, and I'm lost.
Invite and encourage.
Ah, good.
There we go. So Lassie is an acronym we use to help people just kind of keep some kind of framework to what their witnessing activities. It's not a series of steps. You don't just like check off the list.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes when we're witnessing with people, we kind of get, oh, where am I? You know, what have we talked about? Where do I go with this? And Lassie is a guide through that process. And it's adaptable. For instance, this morning, on my way into the office, I saw my neighbor, Terry, and I stopped and I started talking to him. And I've just been witnessing with him, and I'm kind of thinking, okay, where am I in this conversation?
Right.
What has he told me in the past? And what kind of questions have I asked him? And what kind of questions should I be asking him? And of course, just trusting the Holy Spirit, part of the seeking is seeking the Spirit's guidance.
Right.
To where is he taking the conversation?
Right.
And so because he's my neighbor, I'm going to see him many times over and over and over again. So I don't feel like, oh, I just got to dump the whole load on him right now. Is
not
my
trying
only
to close
chance.
The deal in this moment, but waiting for that open door.
Right. And that's part of that seeking part of Lassie.
Right.
Versus when I'm on an airplane, which I get to do a lot. And I'm strapped in next to somebody and I'm never going to see them again.
Right.
It's like, well, here's my one opportunity to witness. And so I use Lassie then to say, well, where is this conversation going? And, you know, seeking out that point of connection with a person and what can I share?
Well, you're starting off with listening too. I mean, I think for many Christians, I think to witness, I just got to walk in and start talking.
Right. And listen's so important because we don't know where people are coming from.
Right.
We know nothing about their worldviews, what religious values they have, what understanding of Jesus they may already have. So for my neighbor, he's somebody who used to be a Lutheran.
Right. Which tells you a lot right there in many ways, right?
How I go about witnessing to him is going to be different than, say, the person I was on a plane with last week who was a Mormon.
Right.
You know, so listening is so important to figure out, well, where are we? Listening is also important because we don't want to treat people like they're some kind of conquest. You know, like, I just need to witness to this person so I can notch my Bible with another one. But instead, listening to them is, who is this person as a person?
Right. There are those out there who actually teach that theology, sort of that when you get to heaven, all the people that you have saved are going to gather around you and they're going to be like stars in your crown. So I've never liked that, not only because it's not biblical, but it means I'm trying to save this person, not for their sake, but for mine. It's self-driven.
Right. So if I remember once and one of my classmates was asking, this is not Lutheran seminary that I went to.
How'd you get ordained?
Can I say that on the air?
This was postgraduate.
Postgraduate, right? I thought I'd study with the Calvinists to see what they were really up to.
They're nice people.
But this one, they really are. They're well-meaning.
they are.
So one of these, there happens to be this Baptist pastor who's going here, because I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. But he asked me, you know how many people you've saved in your ministry? I said, yes, I know exactly how many. He goes, really? How many? I said, zero.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, I don't save anybody. So if I'm going to be surrounded in heaven by the people I saved, I'm going to be pretty lonely.
Right.
But instead, I'm going to be in that you know, that whole host of great angels crowd. And archangels and the whole company of heaven of the people Jesus has saved.
Right,
you know,
right.
Some of whom I've had the privilege of telling, hey, here's the good news of Jesus.
That's such a huge point. You know, in our catechism, in the third article on the Holy Spirit, it says, I cannot by my own reason or strength come to Jesus Christ my Lord. And yet, it's not just about me by my own reason and strength. It's even in the witness that I would give to others to recognize, right. I cannot by my own reason or strength convert somebody to Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Right. I couldn't do it for myself. I certainly can't do it for somebody else.
Right.
And that's one of the things we talk about in the Everyone is Witness workshop, where we teach people how to use this Lassie approach
right.
in your everyday life. And one of the things I've been thinking about this past week, like a lot of other people, is the presidential election.
Ah, sure.
And all the things that have come out of that. And I'm wondering, how many of us have taken an opportunity to use current events like the election to be witnesses of Jesus?
Right. Especially with all the fear mm-hmm. and the anger, which really, in my opinion, kind of has amounted to an idolatry of the office on both sides, a belief that this presidency is kind of the make or break for the entire world. Well, as a Christian, we don't believe that at all.
No. And so starting with Lassie, when we listen to people, we start listening, well, what are those fears?
Right.
Where are they? Why are they pinning their hopes on one presidential candidate over the other? And now that the election's been settled, I think it's been settled.
I don't know. They're marching in the streets still, right?
Well, right. And say, what if we listen to people, we start to understand why are they so concerned?
Right.
But if we posture ourselves
right.
and we're just not listening but speaking, you know, this is my opinion. This, you know, you just need to get over it. Blah blah blah. All the things we're hearing, that's going to have an impact on our witness as well.
Right. There's one more piece of this that I thought about a while back as you're talking about listening. This is deep theology, so we'll have to bear with me as I dig this. But the proper distinction of law and gospel is all about understanding your hearer's need at the moment. And they may be ready for the gospel, or they may not. They may need the law. And the law doesn't mean just walk up to someone and say, you're a sinner. But to help them confront their misplaced hope, their misplaced trust, and see the need for a better hope, a better object of their faith. So that listening is the first step, even in the preacher's task of preaching law and gospel.
And so for a witness who's proclaiming, you're right. And when we get to the, you know, listening, asking, and
right.
and seeking, when we do get to sharing, we have to discern, is it time to share the law or
right.
share the gospel? Now, I do just walk right up to Andy and say, you're a sinner, but I wouldn't do that
so
to
obvious.
Just anybody. Yeah, it's like a target-rich environment.
Yeah, right.
So you're right, the law and gospel distinctive is so important for a witness, but if we haven't listened,
right.
and you know, asking is part of listening, And you're not going to go just launch into law and gospel without first seeking out the guidance of the Spirit
right.
and His Word. And okay, what do I bring to this person? Because if somebody's really comfortable in their sin, speaking the gospel to them is just making a bunch of noise.
They don't have a need for it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, okay.
There's an old dusty book called Fritz's Pastoral Theology. And he talks about how the task of a pastor, this is going to apply to everybody though, is to read three books, the book of the scriptures, the book of the self, and the book of the world around him. And what he's getting at there is you got to know your scriptures. You got to know how you fit in those scriptures. But then before you can take that knowledge anywhere else, you have to understand who you're talking to. The book of your congregation, the book of your neighborhood, it is, and the only way to do that is to listen to them.
Listen, and so when we listen to people, you know, you're going to pick up pretty quickly,
right?
You know, how do they? What do they think about their sin?
Of course, to have listening happening, sometimes they're not really ready to talk, so you got to ask.
Got to ask some questions.
Yeah,
and we ask in order to listen. That's
yeah.
kind of the adage we use. We ask in order to listen. We're not trying to trap people or trick people or box them in somewhere with a really powerful question. We're saying we're sincerely wanting to know.
Right.
You know. I want to understand you. I want to understand what you're talking about. And questions are a very powerful way to encourage people to talk.
I've never met somebody, well, that's not quite true. I've almost never met somebody who doesn't like to talk about themselves.
People do like to talk about their lives and their experiences. And most people, there's always exceptions. In asking good questions as a way to encourage them to talk.
And there is, you mentioned too, I mean, there's a big difference between, I'm going to ask you questions about yourself because I have an agenda and I want to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. And genuinely expressing interest in the other person, which we would say that, you know, that's what Christ compels us to do, to love others. But sometimes you got to work on it. But working on genuine interest in your neighbor, and that's powerful stuff. When they believe you actually care what they're saying, that has a pretty big impact on them.
Right. And so putting again in the context of current events, imagine if we were approaching people instead of ridiculing them for their behavior or making fun of their behavior in reaction to the election, of saying, you know, I really want to understand, why are you so upset?
Right.
I really understand, you know, why do you think this is so terrible?
Right.
And first, those kind of questions disarm people, because there is a tremendous amount of mistrust in our culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And as people of peace, we want to come and remove that distrust, and in asking questions that are sincere questions, encourage people to engage with us. And I think it's really enjoyable to listen to people and hear their story. So it's my agenda isn't, I got to ask questions in order to get to where I want to go. It's, I want to ask questions to get to know this person. God's brought me into connection with this person. I'm his witness. How can I be an effective and faithful witness in this context? And so listening leads to that. And now sometimes you can share. Sometimes they're not interested. We tell people, share what you can share.
Right.
You know, our role is always the planting and watering. You know,
right.
God gives the growth, using the terminology from 1 Corinthians 3.
Right.
So sometimes I walk away, like I did off the plane after talking to this young Mormon man, saying, boy, I wish I could have shared more.
Right.
I wish I could have done more. But I left him with an invitation, the eye of Lassie, and words of encouragement. And that's all I could do.
Right.
And that's okay.
Well, and again, it's not up to you to open that door. You can't force the Holy Spirit's
right.
hand. What is up to you is to be ready to give an answer, to be ready to talk about that hope, and then to love your neighbor as yourself,
right.
which means just having that conversation with them for the sake of them, to show love to them. And again, that will be the thing that, if it does prick their conscience and get them interested, will be that they know you're a real person who cares about them.
Yeah, so Lassie, you know, ends with that word of encouragement. And Lassie really is, as you made reference to 1 Peter 3:15, you know, a way to give an answer for the hope that's within you. And the second part of that, do it with gentleness and respect.
Right.
And there's so much of that is missing in our culture today, that if we can approach people with gentleness and respect,
right.
I think we're going to gain an audience. And especially if we're going to willing to listen to them, they should then be willing to listen to us. So we just got about one more minute to wrap up. So is that everything you need to know about Lassie on your first edition?
On my first day. Well, we hit listen, ask, we hit seek. We didn't really hit share hard and invite. We didn't hit invite at all.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, invite. We'll have to talk about that in a future edition of Witness Wednesday. What makes for an effective invitation, especially when you find yourself in a situation where you say, oh, I want to invite this person to church.
Right.
Was that really the best invitation?
Right. The first place to go?
Yeah. It's our traditional go-to invitation.
Right.
But quite often we find it's not an effective invitation.
Right. Well, I'm curious to hear what you have to say about that. And then sharing, of course, I mean, we kind of hit it with giving the defense, but sharing, of course, being the knowledge of our creed, getting to that conversation, Jesus died, Jesus rose.
Right. Yeah. It's share the one thing that can change people's hearts,
yeah.
God's word.
Yeah.
So great. Well, I enjoyed our first Witness Wednesday together. I'm sure there'll be a few more down the pike.
Every week.
All right.